produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Chapter 3, 16 to 17, which just clearly says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or mankind of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. And that's what this ministry stands on. You have to believe the word of God. You have to believe it comes directly from God and inspired by God. And you have to know the word for yourself. You cannot do that by trying to memorize one scripture here, one scripture there, one verse here, one verse there, without getting content, without getting context of that particular scripture, of the history of it, why it was written, who wrote it, who it was written to. So we have to study the Bible in the book in its entirety, and then pull the scripture out of it when we learn it. Amen. So we're going to start chapter 17. What are we talking about? We're talking about Moses. We're talking about the people of Israel. We are talking about, okay, and since we missed last week, let me bring it back to your remembrance. So anybody that's on for the first time will be on by YouTube for the first time. As we matriculate through, we went through Genesis, and now we're in Exodus, and we've already went past the Exodus of where God brought his people out of Egypt. We have to always remember, when you are studying, what is God trying to do? What is he trying to do? What is he trying to accomplish? What is the plan? What is the purpose? What is he trying to do? God is forming his nation unto himself, a particular nation. The nation of Israel. Remember, during this part of the Bible, everybody else, for the most part, is worshiping false gods. The nation of Israel, the Hebrews, same thing, is worshiping the one true God, the Creator God, Yahweh, the Lord, okay? The Most High God, the Creator of heaven and earth and every living thing, and nothing was created that was not created by his hands. That God is who we are given reference to, the God that we still serve and honor today, okay? So everybody else is worshiping false gods. You got to remember that. The nation of Israel that he is forming, he needs to do or accomplish three separate elements. To form a nation, you have to have people, you have to have law, and you have to govern the people. You have to have land so the people can call their own and to reside in peace. And safety and harmony, okay? When they went into Egypt, they were 75 people. They grew to 2.5 million, okay? So that means the people were formed. Now, when we talk about the commandments and the laws, he's given them the law at Mount Sinai. When they receive their law and abide by that law, the second element of the nation will be complete. When they get to the promised land and subdue the promised land, then the third element will be complete. So you have to keep that in mind. That's what God is doing. Layered with that is the covenants. We had the Noahic covenant or the covenant of Noah. We went through that during the great flood, okay? Then the covenant of Abraham, which was passed down to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob's name was turned to Israel, converted to Israel. So that's where you get the Israelites, the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites. That's where we are now, okay? I will make your name great, Abraham. I will make you a father of nations. I will make your name, your people so numerous you cannot count, and they will be wealthy, okay? So all of those things is the purpose and plan of God. When you keep those things in mind, you understand what you are reading. Now, the people have come out. They're 2.5 million. They're out of Egypt. They went, Pharaoh, of course, God hardened his heart. They went through the Red Sea. They walked on dry land. Now they're at the wilderness, okay? Pharaoh is destroyed. His armies are destroyed. Now, he proved to all the nations around that he was the one true God. That's the purpose. That's the purpose of the plagues, to go against every plague, pretty much went against all these fake little g gods, as we call them. When you see in the Bible, God with the little g, you're not talking about the Most High. You're talking about a fake pagan god. When you see large G, O-D, it's talking about the Most High God when it's written in your Bible, okay? In this part of the Bible, in the context where it says the Lord, that's translated Yahweh, the Most High God, amen? Y-H-W-H, Yahweh, amen? So now, we're at chapter 17. We're all caught up, right? Read together, amen. Chapter 17, you will see in your Bibles that it is listed. Please get you a study Bible. Please get you a study Bible. It will really, really assist you. Chapter 17, you see water from the rock, water from the rock. And I'm reading from my notes. I have the notes up on screen so everybody can see it. The grouping of verses 1 through 2. And of course, remember, those of y'all that are new to the Bible study, I can't go over every single thing. Okay. I'm hitting the high points to things that are major for your understanding. Read it for yourself, so that you can fill in anything that I miss, amen? So the grouping of verse 1 through 1 and 2, we will see, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on their journey from the wilderness of Sin and encamped in Rephidim, okay? But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore, the people contended. I want to make sure to bring emphasis to that word, contended with Moses. Give us water that we may drink. That word is special there, contended. It has special meaning. Now, of course, remember, in chapter 16 is where God established that he was providing manna for them on a daily basis, food for them on a daily basis, okay? So this is right after that. Keep that in mind. Right after that. Give us water that we may drink. But that word is important that you probably breezed over, contended with Moses. So Moses told them, why do you contend with me? Then he says, why do you tempt the Lord, Yahweh? In your notes, I put an explanation there, okay? Contend. In this context, the meaning is not only to disagree, but disagree to the point to where you're coming to blows or being physical. This is a fist fight, okay? It also has a secondary meaning of, it could also mean coming to a legal proceeding, okay? So what that means is that they were still showing mistrust in the Most High God. He's providing manna for them every day. Now they come to where they have no water. Now, it was brought up during last section, everyone go on mute. On
mute. Go grab the door. Somebody sounds angry.
That's fine.
Let me mute all from my end to take care of everybody. Okay, sorry for that. It's okay, no problem. Everybody's human. Y'all don't worry about that. Okay, so I went ahead and muted everybody on my end. Okay, so this is showing mistrust. Because he is providing manna for them. He's providing manna every day. Now they're saying, we don't have water. So they're contending with Moses. But when you skipped over that word there, we bring in extra meaning to that. They're so adamant or so aggressive with Moses that they're about to come to blows with Moses. Okay? That's the thing. And we will see it in scripture. Okay? Let's go down to verses 3 and 4, and I'm paraphrasing for you, of course. Moses is saying, why is it, no, it is said, why is it you This the people talking to Moses. Why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt? Now, did Moses bring them out of Egypt? No, the Lord did. The Most High did. Why did you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? So then Moses cried out to the Lord and said clearly, what am I to do with these people? They are ready to stone me. That means that they are becoming increasingly violent against Moses. Now see, now that makes sense when it says contend. Now that you know the meaning of contended with Moses, Moses said himself, they are ready to stone me. And that's why he said it, because they are ready to stone me, come to blows with me, and kill me because they don't have water. Now, one of the elders on the line brought up last week or 2 weeks ago a very valid point. We are not saying that they didn't have a right to want water or to want food. Yes, they had the right to do that. We would have been right there with the children of Israel saying, Moses, we need some water, okay? You, and as we pointed out, nutritionists say you can go, 3 days without, you can't go 3 days without water, but you can go more than 3 days without food, but you have to have water. So they had a right to say or to be worried that they didn't have food or didn't have water, but it was the way that they did it. So let me make sure to bring emphasis to that, because I didn't do this last time. It was the way that they brought it about. They were showing mistrust in the Lord and mistrust in Moses' leadership, but primarily mistrust in God himself. Now they're doing it again. If they would have brought to Moses' attention, which of course he already knew, if you trust in God, you know that he already knows your situation before you even think of it, okay? So they were showing mistrust in the Lord by how they brought it up, okay? It says contended, about to stone them, come to blows. It would have been different if they went up and said, hey, we don't have any water, we're thirsty. Can you please talk to the Lord for us as you have been doing, and tell them that we need water? That's all they had to do. But that's not what they did, okay? All right, moving right along. Verse 5 and 6. Go before the people with some of the elders of Israel. And this is God speaking to Moses. Go before the people with some of the elders of Israel. He says, take your rod, the same rod that you use to part the Red Sea, and I will stand before you on the rock of Horeb. You shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. So now, what is he doing? He is providing for them again, okay? He's providing for them again, being their provider. So as we know, and as you probably thought about as you were reading, the rock is a sign or pointing to Christ. Christ is called the rock. Okay, the rock of which I stand, okay, living waters or water came out of this rock, okay? All of these things, there's always clues pointing or giving an example of the coming Christ to get the people mindset ready to accept that the Messiah is coming, amen? Amen. So you see in verse 7, it talks about Moses' family. It says verse 7, Moses did exactly as God commanded him to do. And Moses called the name of the place. He called the name of the place Massa Meribah, which is Massa is translated tempted the Lord. And Meribah is translated contention. Okay. So which meaning testing and complaint is what it means. So Moses called the name of the place testing and complaint. Amen? Amen. So if you see verse 8 through 10, My study Bible has victory over the Amalekites. Victory over the Amalekites. You see that Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Now, you should know, you fight against God's people, there will be consequences and repercussions, amen? So this is God's chosen people, and you're going to fight against them. So Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Moses told Joshua, okay, here we go, another name, Joshua. Now, we know, all of the Bible readers, we know that that would be Moses' successor eventually. Not right now, but that will be the next man up, the next man in charge, okay? So he told Joshua, choose us some men and go fight Amalek, okay? And it says, I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said and fought Amalek, the Amalekites. Now, it says Aaron and Hur went on the hill with Moses. Went on the hill with Moses. Down to chapter, to verse 11, when Moses held up his hand, the Israelites prevailed. We know that story, right? When he held up his hand and held up the rod, the Israelites prevailed. But when he lowered his hand, the Amalekites would prevail. So we see onward in verse 12, when Moses became tired, they gave him a stone to sit on or to give him rest. Here goes that stone again. So you can say it wouldn't be a problem for you to say that this is another example or representation of Christ. Okay, this is a stone to sit on or to rest, and we find rest in the Lord, but it don't specifically say it, but it might be an example. It might be, okay? Some believe it is. Now, Aaron and Hur supported his hands for him because his hands grew weary, okay? One on each side of him. Now, this is important. They steadied his hands until the going down of the sun. Note. I put a note right there in your notes that the weakness of Moses not being able to stand for that long with his hands raised so that they can have victory showed that he was not the source of the victory. Amen, somebody. Did you catch that in your reading? If he was so weak that he could not hold his hands upward, and you can say towards God or upward, however you want to word it. If he could not do that himself to ensure the victory, then what that is, theory, here we go with theory, what it is saying, it is showing to the people that Moses was not the source of the victory. Amen. The Most High God was the source of the victory. Amen. And it is also, this is a side note, this is where most theologians believe that the ministry of ministry helps originated. So those of you in multiple churches, I have multiple people on this line with multiple states, multiple churches, multiple denominations are on this line. But all of us pretty much have ministry of helps. This is where it is said that ministry helps had its origin, okay? The pastor, or the man of God, or the person over the church or over the ministry cannot do it on their own, okay? And we will see that further on in the chapter. They need support. They need someone undergirding them. They need someone over other ministries. So this is the ministry of helps. It is believed this is where it originated, amen? I don't know if you caught that in your reading or have ever heard that before, but this is where it is believed that it originated. Okay, moving right along. Moses was not the source of the victory. God was, okay? So you'll find verse 13. Joshua defeated the Amalekites and his people, okay? Amalek and his people, the Amalekites. Okay, verse 14 through 16. The Lord said, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua. Write it down and specifically tell everything to Joshua so he can pass it down. What are they doing? Passing it down verbally and written generation to generation, okay? He's saying, I will utterly blot out the remembrance of the Amalekites from under the heaven. Oh my God. Didn't I tell you it would consequences and repercussions? God does not play about his people, okay? Let God fight your battles. Amen, somebody. So Moses built an altar and called the name, the Lord is my banner. Why? We know the meaning of that. The Lord will have war with the Amalekites, or the Lord will fight for me, okay? The Lord is my banner. Yahweh, Nisi, okay? We know that. The act showed that the Lord will protect and fight for the people, okay? Jehovah, or the Lord, is my banner. We say that all the time, okay? This is where it was established, amen? Amen. So that concludes our first chapter. I know it's a little long-winded on that, but that was our first chapter. And plus, I miss you guys. I missed you last week. Okay, so chapter 18, let's move right along. Jethro's advice. If you have a study Bible, you see your heading, Jethro's advice. If you don't have a good study Bible, text me, email me. I will send you the ISBN for the one that I use. It's a very good study Bible. I don't get paid from them to recommend them, so I can recommend any Bible I want. But out of all the Bibles that you see in my library, in my home office, this is the one I like the most. I love it, okay? So Jethro's advice. We see Jethro, remember, that's Moses' father-in-law. So you see it gives you the explanation of who they are. In 1-6, I'm paraphrasing, it says, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, Zipporah is Moses' wife, just to remind you, Gershom is Moses' son, his name meaning the stranger in a foreign land. Why? I know you guys have been here session for session. Why? Because when Moses fled Egypt the first time, what was it? He went and to Jethro, to that camp, remember, and he was a foreigner. He was a stranger in a foreign land. So he named his son that. That's the meaning of his name. And Eleazar is Moses' son. That name meaning God was my help, delivered me from the sword of Pharaoh. Okay, so that's the meaning of their names. Of course, we know in Hebrew, their names meant something. You just didn't pull a name out of the air and just name the children that, okay? They came to meet Moses in the wilderness where he was encamped at the mountain of God, okay? You know where that is, right? Sinai. So Jethro announced he was coming beforehand. Did you catch that? If it's in the Bible, it means something. Okay, what that means is he was showing respect for Moses. He had heard everything that the Lord had did through Moses. So now Moses was not just my son-in-law. Moses was the leader of the Israelite camp, 2.5 million people, okay? He had to show respect. So he announced he was coming beforehand. So, and I put in your notes, who was now in a position of authority. Now he's not just son-in-law, okay? That's why you see that written. So if you move on to verse 7-12, Moses met Jethro, but then Moses bowed down and kissed him, okay? Thank you. So Moses bowed down and kissed him. Why did he do that? Because this is still his father-in-law. And this man gave his daughter to Moses, Zipporah, right? So he was showing honor to his father-in-law, still. Meaning, I am still humble, even though I am in a position of authority, I'm still humble enough to look at my father-in-law, bow down and kiss him. Now, the context of this, let me tell this very quickly. This is not the same as bowing down to God on all fours or on your knees. This is, you can take it as a bow by the hips, okay? If that makes sense to you. This is not bowing down on his knees and kissing his feet or something. This is bowing to him, a half bow, and then kissing him on the cheek, okay? Just to let you know. Okay, so Moses told him of all that the Lord had done to free the people, okay? Jethro says, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you. Now I know that the Lord is greater. The Lord, Yahweh, is greater than all the gods, little g gods. For in the very thing in which they, meaning the Egyptians, for which the very thing they behaved proudly, or was proud over, God was above them. Now, and then Jethro made sacrifices unto God. What you should have got from that is remembering what I told you about the plagues went against the small gods, the fake gods, the pagan gods, the gods of Egypt and all the gods of the surrounding nations, showing that each plague went against, like, for instance, the god of the fake god of the Nile, or the god of darkness, or the god the frogs, or the frog god, and things like that, the frog of cattle or over cattle. All the plagues went against or to disprove those fake gods. Now, true scripture, when you have the right interpretation, it will always support itself later in scripture. So now Jethro is saying, now I know that the Lord is greater than all the small gods, for in the very thing in which they behaved proudly or believed in, he was above them. That just supports what happened. Amen? That just supports what happened. When you have the right interpretation, scripture as you go will always support itself. But if you just pull verse by verse and skip throughout the Bible, you don't get the full context and the full content of the scripture. Amen? Which is why God told me specifically, teach my word line by line, precept upon precept, teach the people chapter by chapter, book by book. And that's why we're doing that this way. I would not speed up. I would not skip. I would not jump around. We're going chapter by chapter, book by book. Amen? Amen. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at God. Amen. So verse 13 through 18. The next day, Moses said to judge the people from morning till evening. When Jethro saw Moses, he asked, what is this thing that you are doing? This is his father-in-law, who he honors, okay? Why did I say judge three times? Let me make sure to say this. Do you remember in Egypt when Moses saw the two people fighting and he went out to do something? You remember what his own people said to him? Who made you a ruler and judge over us? His people said that. Now, what is Moses doing? In scripture, it says the next day Moses set to judge the people. Now, what is Moses? A ruler and a judge over the people. So the answer to the question that you read before is God did. The Most High God made him a ruler and a judge over the people. Exactly what the question to him was in Egypt, and that's what made him scared. And when they said, we know what you did, we know what you did the day before, that's when he fled Egypt, okay? So you see how scripture, all the dots are connected when you study the Bible the right way? All the dots start lining up and connecting. That's the purpose of why we're teaching it this way, amen? So, but Jethro, his father-in-law, saw Moses and he asked, what is this thing that you are doing? Moses answered, the people come to me to acquire of God. Now, that's no problem. There's no problem with that. That was okay. When they have difficulty, they come to me. And I judge between one and another, and I make known the statutes of God and his laws. But look at what Jethro says. This thing that you do, that right here that you're doing, that right there that you're doing, that's not a good thing. His father-in-law told him to his face, that's not a good thing. Both you and the people will wear themselves out. Amen, somebody point the finger at Reb, okay? I'm explaining. This thing is too much for you. You are not able to perform it by yourself. 19 through 27, Jethro says, I will give you counsel, wise counsel. We always have to listen and accept wise counsel. Look at what Jethro says. Now he's older, he's wiser, okay? Teach them the laws and statutes yourself. Why? Because he's the one hearing from God. So teach the laws and teach and give them wise counsel. Okay? That's what you should do. But select able men that fear God, men of truth, men of honor, hating covetousness, and place them as judges as well to rule over thousands, over hundreds, over 50s, and over 10s. What is he saying? Separate the people into groups and put wise men, men of God, men of truth over them. Amen? If it is a great matter that they can't handle themselves, then let them bring it to you to decide. But only the great matters. They are to handle the small matters themselves. Amen, somebody. This will take the burden off of you. And Moses heeded the voice of his father-in-law and appointed men as judges. And Jethro departed and went back to his own land. That concludes chapter 18. So what am I itching to say over that? Just this week, I received wise counsel from multiple sources. One person, one of the closest individuals to me, said you cannot wear yourself out. You cannot do too much. You cannot do everything yourself. And I fall victim to that. I care so much about doing what God has assigned me and appointed me to do that I take on too much myself. And I have to slow down sometimes and understand that I can't wear myself out. Amen. And I appreciate that. And let me say that publicly, that I appreciate that wise counsel. From another source, I received the same information. No, you cannot take on that. You're doing too much. Slow down. You know, I'm like, okay, I get it. I get it. And believe me, Rev will listen. If God speaks to you and laid upon your heart to give me wise counsel, believe me, I will listen. Amen. So believe me, what I was going to do, I have slowed that down, pumped the brakes on that. So trust me, I receive it. I receive it out of love and I receive it. Amen. Amen. Okay. Chapter 19, moving right along. Israel at Mount Sinai. Israel at Mount Sinai. And I'm going to shut down this window so I can blow up your notes. Okay, Israel at Mount Sinai. The people of Israel, chapter 19, I'm in verse 1 through 6. The people of Israel were camped in the wilderness at Mount Sinai. Moses went to the Mount of God, went up the Mount of God, and the Lord told him to tell the people, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I delivered you." Keep that in mind, guys. He's saying, "I have proved myself to you." Keep that in mind. That's the point, okay? "Bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself." What is that? I put you a note right there. That is translated, or the context of that, he's saying, just as an eagle carries a baby chick or a baby bird, I carried you just like that, just as on wings of an eagle, I carried you as a child out of Egypt. So remember what I did for you. I have proven myself to you. But get this. Look at your Bible. This is so very important. "Now, therefore," why? Anytime you see "therefore," I'm preaching now. Anytime you see "therefore" in the Bible, you need to remember what "therefore" is there for. "Therefore" is pointing you to what he has said, to what he is about to say, okay? I put that in a sermon two or three times before, okay? So now he's saying, "I have proven myself to you." So now, therefore, linked to what I'm about to tell you, if, big word, two little letters, big word, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Two words, key words. If, I call these two words qualifiers when I'm reading scripture. They are qualifiers. If you will indeed obey my voice, qualifier, if you do that. And secondly, keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me. So that means if you don't, then you won't. Okay? You will be a special treasure to me above all people. I'm reading again because this is the most important verse that we're reading today. You will be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. What did you read? You read a new covenant, people. It told you right there, keep my covenant. This is a new covenant that is layered underneath the Abrahamic covenant. This is the covenant of Moses, or the Mosaic covenant. Did you catch that in your reading? This is a new covenant that he is establishing, okay? Now, I put a special note in there. The covenant was tied to what the Lord had already done for the Israelites. The Abrahamic covenant was stated that this will happen, or this is what will happen, period, okay? This is what will happen. Come on in. This is what will happen. Now this is saying, if you do this, this is what is going to happen, okay? If you obey, this is what's going to happen. This is the covenant of Moses, or the Mosaic covenant, okay? The covenant was tied to what the Lord had already done for the Israelites. I've already proven myself. So the covenant was a means of communication. What Israel should do as a people who already belong to God. Okay? You're already my people. I've already called you unto myself. This is what you should do and how you should act. Okay? We're setting up for what? The commandments. So the people that belong to the Lord, not everybody else, it's not who God was talking to right here. The people that belong to the Lord should display his character. Ooh, wow, somebody. The laws would be a means to show the people how they should act so that others would see the God in them. They should be a reflection of God's character. My question to you, are you a reflection of God's character? Can other people look at you and say, that is a godly man? That is what God looks like. They should see a reflection of God in you, my brother. Do they look at you, my sister, and say, that is a reflection of God? I see God in them. If not, you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Okay? You should be a reflection of God. We were never meant to look like the world. You were never meant to fit in. You were never to be a part of. You were always called to be separate. You were always called to be separated from this world. In this world, but not of this world. Amen? But if you heed the voice of God, obey his words, and keep his covenant, then we shall be a separated people. If my people that are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I shall hear from heaven and heal their land. Then, if, and then, this is the same principle. Same thing, if, and then, and when. The qualifiers. Let me move right along. I'm getting excited. Verse 7 through 9, Moses called for the elders and the people and told them all that the Lord has spoken to him. The people replied, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will do. The Lord said to Moses, I come to you in the thick cloud that the people may hear when I speak with you and believe you forever. People, why would they, I'm getting ahead of myself, why would they punish so severely? Because God, later, why would they punish severely later? Because God went through all these steps to make sure they knew, they heard from themselves, they saw the clouds leading them during the day and fire by night and all of that through the, All of this, they saw this for themselves, and they still disobeyed time and time and time again. We will see that later, okay? So that's why God punished them so much. He says, I'm going to make it to where they can see not my form, not the form of God, not the face of God, but a cloud, and see and hear the voice coming out of the cloud. So they know it's me. And they can believe you, and they can believe I'm the one that's speaking, okay? And the word says, believe you forever that I am speaking to you. They had no right to mistrust God after all of this. Amen? Amen. Verse 10 through 13. The Lord told them to consecrate themselves, separate and sanctify themselves, okay, for 2 days and wash their clothes on the third day. And he shall come down to Mount Sinai in the sight of the people. Have no sexual relations, no relations as well, okay? You're going to say, if they were married, Reb, why did the Lord specify that? Well, in ceremonies, in the pagan culture, there's a lot of theory, a lot of history. I just got to tell you in 2 seconds. In other cultures around them, sex was a part of their rituals, their pagan rituals. So God had to establish to keep yourself, abstain yourself even from your wives, because that's the only sex you were supposed to have with your wives, okay? Wives and husbands. So God was saying, abstain during this time of consecration and consecrate and separate yourself and dedicate yourself to me, because I'm about to speak to you one-on-one, okay? You're about to hear me. Pagan cultures incorporated sex in their rituals. So God was making a division with that, okay? Everybody got that? Okay, all right. Moving right, he didn't want them to act like the pagan cultures. He wanted them totally separate, okay? Put it in quick terms. Now, paraphrasing 14 through 20, verses 14 through 20. Moses went down the mountain and sanctified the people. Now, did y'all catch that three-day thing? Okay, I know, it's like Christ, right? Okay. Moses went down the mountain and sanctified the people. On the third day in the morning, there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, and the people trembled. What does all that sound like? What you read about Calvary, right? Okay. Moses brought the people to meet God. The mount was completely covered in smoke. The whole mountain quaked greatly, a great earthquake, okay? Then, come on in. Y'all still coming, it's okay, come on in, okay? When the blast of the trumpet sounded, Moses spoke to God, and he answered him by voice. Why? Moses spoke to God, and he answered him by voice. Why? So that the people could hear and believe. Then the Lord came down to Mount Sinai on the top of the mountain. And the Lord called to Moses, the top of the mountain, and Moses went up. Okay? All this so the people could hear. Verses 21 through 25. Go down and warn the people not to break through to gaze to the Lord. Don't get so curious that you want to break through the crowd and come up the mountain, because they will die. Why? This is holy. This is holy ground. You cannot be that close to me. It only when I say someone can be close to my presence, okay? Which was Moses at this point. So also let the priests who come near the Lord consecrate themselves also, lest they die as well. Now you will see a scripture in between that with Moses trying to restate what the Lord had said, saying, but you said they couldn't come up. But the Lord was about to say something else. The Lord says, go down or get down. Like, don't ask me what I'm doing. Do what I say. Okay, get down and tell them, come up, you and Aaron with you. Meaning he was not saying all the priests to come up. He was about to tell him Aaron to come up. Okay, only who I say to come can come. Everybody else had to wait and not even touch the base of the mountain or they would die. Okay, do not let the priests and the people break through to come up to the Lord, lest they will die. Okay, so Moses went down to the people and spoke to them. Special note, Moses going up 3 times was to show the people his authority as God's representative again, so that they would listen to Moses. He went up and down this mount three separate times. They should believe Moses and everything that Moses says. Amen? Amen. Now we're to the last chapter. We're doing good. I got about 11 to 12 minutes. So that's good. We're not rushing, but we got plenty of time to go over the last chapter. So I hope everybody is good with that. They were able to see the cloud, to see the smoke, the thundering and lightning and the trumpets, which they will see later in the Bible as well. All of these things, different little things like that will always point them to or give them examples of the Christ to come. It's the three-day things. It's the rock thing. Yes, it's all of these things, okay, pointing them to Christ or an example of Christ or the Messiah to come. So chapter 20, we have the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments, okay? Turn your Bible one page over to chapter 20. I got two pages. Okay. I am the Lord, Yahweh, the Most High. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. What is he doing? Establishing who did it and what he did so that they would reverence him, have respect for him, and remember who did it for them. Excuse me. You shall have no other gods before me. What are we talking about now? The Ten Commandments. We were taught this as children, but I'm paraphrasing, okay? So, and this is so important. Look at your Bibles. I'm going to read a lot of this directly from the Bible. I don't want to paraphrase this one section, okay? And God spoke all these words saying, I am the great I am, the Lord, Yahweh, the proper name of God, your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. I'm reading directly from the Bible, New King James Version. You shall have no other gods before me. Boom, right there. No other gods. You see it's listed as little g, okay? You shall not make for yourself carved images. Boom. Any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. I don't want to see any carved images. When you go in these churches, and I'm going to call it out, when you go in these churches and they have these images of other people or other things, that's pagan. Pagan. God says no other images. When you go in a church, any images that you see should be an image of the cross. That's all that you should see. These images of different individuals on the cross or things like that, that is pagan worshiping. Per the Bible, not per Reverend Corey, okay? Per the Bible, that is pagan worshiping. We are not to worship any carved images, okay? It even says, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You should not bow down to them. You should not, meaning you should not pray to them. So these chants and praise and prayers to individuals, you should not be doing that, okay? You know what I'm talking about, okay? Nor shall you serve them. For I, the Lord, Yahweh, your God, am a jealous God, big G God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. Oh, my God. Punishable, okay? But showing mercy, here's that mercy for God, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commands. There it is. You see why I'm not going to skip over this? Powerful, powerful scriptures. Punishment and mercy. Two ends of the spectrum. Okay? Moving right along. Verse 7. You shall not take the Lord your God in vain. Watch his name. He does not play about his name. For the Lord will not hold guiltless who takes his name in vain. All these curses. That goes. As far as the first thing we think about is curse words, like compound curse words, we're putting God in it. You know, we think about that, but it's also using his name to further your purpose or to get over on someone that has nothing to do with God, okay? Or to you know, use his name falsely in any type of shape, form, or fashion is in vain. It's not just cursing with his name. It is using his name anything different than what it said in his word. Amen? Okay. It says, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall honor and do all work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Now, somebody point out to me where it says Sunday. It does not. Okay? It says 6 days, and on the seventh you rest. Go back in Genesis. I pointed out to you again. The tradition that was given to us was Sunday was the seventh day. The Bible never said that. Okay? Give you a little tidbit. Do research for yourself. It never said Sunday was the holy day. Okay? It never said that. Now, 6 days you shall labor and do all work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Okay? In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor the male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, and the earth, and the sea, and all that is in it, and rested the seventh day. We said we established that in Genesis, remember? Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Okay? Next, honor your mother and your father. My mother and my father on this line, I love you and I honor you. They're on this line right now, okay? That your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. I don't care how old you get. I don't care how wise you get and how educated you get. You honor your mother and your father. Honoring your father, your biological, is just like honoring God, your heavenly father. Amen, somebody? Honoring your mother that God used to bring life onto this earth, to bring you life, is honoring God. Honor always the days of your life, your mother and your father, no matter who they are and what they do. Amen? Amen. Because God forgave you. No matter what you did, he forgave your sins through the propitiation of Christ Jesus, Yeshua. He forgave you no matter what. So no matter what, who they are, what they have accomplished, what they have done or what they have not done, honor thy mother and thy father. Amen. Amen. 13, you shall not murder. You did not create life. You do not have the right to take life. Do you hear me well? Okay. Now, yes, you're going to ask me, what about in self-defense? What about if your life is threatening and you are protecting yourself? In this context, that is not what it's talking about. And I have to tell you honestly, in this context, that is not what it's saying. Okay? Later in the Bible, you will see people having to protect themselves and murder or to take life. And there were cities of refuge established to where they could flee and be protected. But that's giving you too much Bible at one time, okay? We're going to get to that. So we have to, by the scripture, understand that, and we do understand that there were wars. We do understand that God told them to go into the land of Canaan and wipe out everybody that was in there, okay? We do understand that. So we have to take it in context, okay? Moving right along. You should not commit adultery. When you go before the Lord and commit yourself to that man and that woman, you should not commit adultery, okay? You should not steal. You should not take what is someone else. If you have a desire or you're in need, you should lean and depend on God, okay? Not steal from someone else. You should not bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't lie. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Okay, tell the truth. Moving right along. Verse 17, you should not covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. Nor his male servant, nor his female servant, his ox, his donkey, or anything that is your neighbor's. Okay, covet. What does that word mean? A desire to possess or have something of someone else's. Don't desire to have anything of anyone else's. Trust that God, what he did for them, he would do for you. Okay? Get out there and work. Man don't work, man don't eat. Get out there and work and get it for yourself. Amen? Now, let me make a few points, okay? you have 8 negative commands and 2 positive commands, okay? Remember that, 8 negative commands and 2 positive commands, okay? Then the first 4 focus on loyalty to God, how they are written, and the last 6 focus on dealing with humans, okay? Remember, you have no gods before me. You have no carved images, okay? And using a name in vain. Well, then it goes on till you start talking about individuals, the murder, the adultery, the stealing, the covenant, okay? So that's why it's written like that, okay? So the first 4 focus on loyalty to God, and the last 6 focus on dealings with humans, okay? Us with each other, okay? Moving right along. Now, remember, Matthew, oh, and let me say this before I forget. These are just groupings. These 10, or some people like to say the original 10, was what all the laws were based off of, okay? There were upwards of 600 laws. Half of them or so, you know, and it is said 365 days in a year or something like that. You know, that's just a joke that it said. But half of them, 300 or so, was what you shall do. 300 or so was what you shall not do, okay? So these 10 was not the end all. Everything was based off of these 10, okay? These are just groupings. It was over 600 laws. And no, they could not keep them all. That's why they needed Christ Jesus, okay? Now, if you remember, I know we're not in the New Testament, but remember what Jesus himself said, Matthew 22, when he was asked, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and the great commandment, okay? That's that first grouping. And the second is like unto the first. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, okay? Jesus or Yeshua said this out of his own mouth himself. And on these 2 commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Amen? Amen? So Jesus was saying himself, love the Lord thy God with all that heart and all that soul and all that mind, then love thy neighbor as thyself. So if you got that, then you got all the commandments, okay? In verse 18, getting back to our notes, verse 18, the people were afraid of God's presence. So after the people witnessed all these things, the people trembled and stood afar off. Then they said to Moses, you speak with us. You talk to us. And we will hear, but let God not speak with us, lest we die. Now you know they're scared. We don't want to hear from God now. We want to hear from you. Okay? Then Moses told the people, do not fear. Catch this real quick. Moses said, do not fear. For God has come to test you, and that his fear may be before you, so that you may not sin. But didn't y'all see the difference in that? Moses said, don't fear, but then he told them to fear, because there's 2 different kinds of fears, right? He said, don't be scared of God, but be fearful as in reverence God, reverence and respect, okay? So don't let that trip you up. That was kind of funny to me. I just see stuff like that in scripture. I told y'all, slow down and read the scripture. It was funny to me. He says, do not fear, but then it says, so that his fear may be before you. Well, don't fear means don't be afraid, but reverence him, that type of fear. Amen? 2 different contextual words. So now we see, to close it out, verse 22, it says, the law of the altar. And I say this quickly because it's very short. Okay. You shall not make idols of silver and gold, he told them. Because they were making an altar. Okay, the altar must be made of earth. Okay, natural things. Okay, then he says, sacrifice on it burnt offerings and peace offerings. So make their sacrifice unto the Lord. I will come to you and bless you wherever I record my name. Okay, so wherever I record my name and you build an altar, I will come and reside there. My presence will be there. So what that means is I'm everywhere, not just on this one place. Wherever I need to be, that's where I am, okay? That's what he was saying when you read that scripture. That's what he was establishing. Now, stone altars could not be cut with tools. It said it will defile them. Why? He wanted natural stones, not cut into different shapes and designs and all of that. No, you roll a natural stone over here, okay? Don't defile it by putting metal onto it, trying to carve it. You follow me? That's what he's saying. Altars could not have steps on it, and it said to nakedness. Now, don't get so holier than thou, and don't get so theological, okay? What he is meaning in that scripture is exactly what he said. The priest and their robe, the only person that would be up and down some steps or at the altar would be priest, nobody else. The priest, in this time, you can read up on the customs, their long robes, they did not wear underwear that we know now. I know you're laughing on Zoom. I know you're laughing. They did not wear underwear. So if you go up steps, the people would be able to see your business, okay? So God was specifically telling them, no steps, because if you go up steps, the people below you would be able to see underneath your robe. That's what he's saying. So don't get all holy on me. That's what he was saying. Keep yourself covered. Exactly what he was saying. So now I put a note in here and we're going to end on this. Now you have the Mosaic or the covenant of Moses. Okay. In summary, you have five divine purposes of the Mosaic covenant, which reconfirm the covenant of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. This doesn't do away with, it just supports it or reaffirms it. And it says, you already know it because you read the scripture twice. Or three times. You read it, and I read it twice, okay? For one, Israel will be God's special possession. Two, Israel will be a kingdom of priests to God, okay? Three, Israel will be a holy nation, a peculiar people, remember? Okay, four, God will fight for Israel and overcome all of her enemies. The Lord will be thy banner, okay? Five, God will treat Israel with grace and with mercy and forgive her sins no matter what, okay? Not saying they won't be punished, but he will show them grace and mercy. That's the five elements of the Mosaic covenant. And I made sure to put it in your notes, just like I did the Abrahamic covenant.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way radio channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.